This is a time that before radio and radar was invented. So traveling at sea, particularly when you navigate a ship, communication between ships largely depend upon light signal. So this captain of a battleship was traveling along the coast of the continent in a very dark night. There was no moon. And when this captain was traveling with his battleship along the coastline of the continent, he slowed it down, make sure that he would not get into any accident or trouble. And he was very alert. So he stepped out and looked forward when the ship was heading towards north. And he saw faintly there was a light there. So he looked at that and he asked his sailors to use the light to send a signal. Because the light that he saw, the faint light that he saw, was directly on the course of the ship, the battleship that he's traveling. So he sent out a signal and asked the other party, said, turn 10 degrees south, hoping to avoid a collision. Within a minute, the other party, the fainter light far away, has the light signal coming back. And the message was, turn 10 degrees north. So ask him to change his course. So this captain was not very happy. So he sent out another signal saying that, turn 10 degrees south. I'm the captain of the ship. So the other party, that little thing like far away, now is getting closer and closer. Send the light signal back again. Turn 10 degrees south. This is first seaman. The captain was upset. I am a captain and you are a seaman and you not obeying my direction. So he sent out another signal saying that, turn 10 degrees north, danger, this is a battleship. So in a minute, the light signal come back. Turn 10 degrees south, this is the lighthouse. It's a joke. It's a little story that I saw in one of the online stories. But it tells us something that we all struggle with. Submission is almost a dirty word in our culture. Because when we heard the word submission, we automatically relate that to devalue, humiliation, and most important of all in this culture is the opposite of self-actualization. We don't like the word submission. But yet today in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 21 to 33, the last part of chapter 5, we are confronted with this word. This is Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 to 33. If you have your Bible, would you please turn to that passage and stand as I read God's word to you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 to 33. This is the word of God. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does to the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of God. Please be seated. You heard about this passage many, many times if you attend Christian weddings. Many people choose this passage. But today I want to address something deeper. I bet among us, some of you will think, when I look at this, submit to one another out of the reverence of Christ. Okay, but verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. You might misuse this passage in the following way. First, if you are a husband and you are becoming insensitive in your relationship, then sometime you will find yourself quoting this as a way to force your wife into submission. Or another way, which I think more of us think this way. You look at that, you think, wow, this is not going to work today in America. Paul is speaking about 2,000 years ago in an ancient culture, male-dominant society, and perhaps he himself has some male chauvinism. He might not intend to do that, but he was framed by the culture that he lived in. So therefore, this teaching might not apply today. I want to address this right now here. It is dangerous thought. Now, I want you to remember what I said right now. The Bible is not a product of culture. The Bible is God's word using culture as a vehicle to communicate to us something eternal and transcultural. God used individuals in the Bible, 66 books. Each author has his own context in culture and their language. But God's message was never, ever confined and contained by their culture and by their language. God is using culture as a vehicle to effectively communicate the gospel to the people, which the gospel is eternal. So how do we look at this? Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Paul is not speaking out of his cultural biases. He is not speaking as a male chauvinist. Because later on you see this passage. This whole passage from verse 21 to 33, 13 verses. Only 3 verses addressed to the wife. The rest addressed to the husband. And most important of all, think about that. If your stereotype about ancient culture is male dominate, male chauvinist kind of culture, look at verse 31, the way that he quote Genesis. Paul is quoting Genesis directly. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. If it were coming from a male-dominant culture, it will not put it this way. It will say, for this reason, the wife will leave his parents, and the two become one flesh, and be united with his husband, with her husband. Isn't it that way? A lot of us coming from Asian culture, you know that. The culture would not put it this way. This is a strong proof that the Bible is not only not going along with culture, it's correcting our corrupted culture. So Paul is not addressing this as something coming from his own culture inferences. God is using Paul with his language and cultural background to address a very fundamental issue in marriage relationship. And today I hope that not only we will see into the marriage relationship as the first part about the role of the wife, but also we'll see something deeper that affects each one of us, whether you are married or you are not married, whether you are husband or wife, or whether you have the gift of celibacy. It doesn't matter. It will point us toward a higher glory and higher calling of God. So here, you notice that if you use the NIV or some other Bible, you will see that the division that the Bible implies is starting from verse 22. But I put verse 21 in there. Because in the original language, in Greek, this is closely related. Because here, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then you will see verse 22, wife, the word submit was not there. Wife to your husband. It's drawing the verb from verse 21. So 22 and 21 close related. But 21 also is related to the passage before that, which Pastor James preached last week. Do you remember that, the last part? That the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look. Verse 18. Let me start with verse 15. Paul is addressing to the believer in Ephesus. And the point that he tried to make is, the time is near. There's not much time. In other words, it's the big word, eschatology. The doctrine of the end time is pressing his heart right now, and he urged the church, he urged people, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He's talking about the end time. The days are evil. Time is short. Seize every opportunity to do good, to be wise, to glorify God. And then he continued on. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's contracting drunkenness and being filled by Holy Spirit. When you are drunk, you are controlled by alcohol. But when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are under the control of the Holy Spirit. So he is talking about this filling of the Holy Spirit is the source, is the most important foundation for the verses that coming down. Giving thanks to each other, singing praises, and also submit to one another. So here, when Paul addressed to the role of wife, now, sitting in this room, this sanctuary, there are wives. There are wives to be, there are wives, there's someone that's looking for to be a wife, and there's some of you are searching. It's addressing to you. But I don't want to leave the other 51% off the hook. Men, brothers, husbands, you cannot listen to today's message for your wife or your future wife. You ought to listen to this with a question in mind. The question is, if the Bible teach a wife to be submissive to her husband, then I, as a husband right now, or will be a husband in the future, do I have any attitude or issue that will prevent her to discharge that role? Do you understand? So this message is not only addressed to sisters, wives, but also addressed to husbands, brothers, which we will go more in depth next week. But listen to today's message. This is a little disclaimer I have to put in. Listen to today's message with this question in mind. Is there anything in my life, whether it's attitude, value, hurt, or whatever that is, preventing my wife to be submissive as God called her to be in our relationship? That is the question for men, for husband, for brothers. So you listen to today's message with that in mind, with that question in mind. But for the sisters, the wives, the Bible teaching is very clear. It said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The foundation of that is out of fear for Christ. Reverence is a very polite translation of NIV. Some translation directly translate as fear. The Greek word is phobia. This word appear again at the end of the chapter. Verse 32, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must fear. Now again, NIV translated very nicely, respect her husband. Phobia, the same word. How do you make out of it? This seems to be a little inclusio, like two pieces of sandwich, that putting these verses together. We submit to one another, not because the other party has any merit or worthy of our submission. We submit to one another because of our fear for Christ. When the Bible used the word fear of God, fear of Christ is a rich word. It's beyond our contemporary understanding of fear. It's not that negative tone. Fear in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, is a covenantal word. Whenever God makes a covenant with his people, the word fear will couple with the other two words appear together. God's love and God's promise. That frame everything in one package. So when the Bible talks about fear of God, it's not that we look at God, we don't know what he will do because he's so powerful, and would he harm me, would he hurt me? No. When the Bible talks about the fear of God, it's talking about the total package of the covenant that God made with his people. I love you, I give you promise, but I am holy as well. So fear me, respect me, reverence. You put all these together. There's no one English word can capture that. I give you a couple example from some Old Testament. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. Here is that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. So that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you. And so that you may enjoy long life, promise of God. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Again, the promise, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Fear God being framed in the context of God's love and promise. Further down, chapter 10, verse 12, is even more clear. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Psalm 103, verses 17 to 18. Even more clear with this fear of God and God's love and promise. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Fear of God is not the pagan fear of their deities. Fear of God in Christian faith is framed by God's love and promise. And God wants us to fear him not only because he is holy, but also for the benefit of his people. That you may walk on the righteous path. That all the blessing that he intends, that all the glory that he intends, we will experience that. So it's out of this foundation that we submit to one another. And wives, what is the good news? The good news is you, just by yourself, you cannot submit. But by the Holy Spirit, by the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can do that. You'll be able to do that because it is a sign of someone's life being filled by the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we can submit to one another. Submit in the Greek word direct translations arrange under. Now you start to see the connection. Submission is arrange under. Arrange my priority, arrange my ability, arrange my talent under a higher purpose that God called me. If you go back to verse 18, do not get drunk. Do not be drunk by wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. Do not be under control. Do not arrange your life under the influence of alcohol and other things, but arrange your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So submission and filled by the Holy Spirit is interconnected, cannot be separated. But unfortunately, a lot of time when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we only go skin deep, speaking in tongue with some dramatic experience. Those things are good. Don't get me wrong. But those are superficial. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's all the fruit of the Holy Spirit crystal together as submission to one another. And that is Paul addressing the role of wife in a Christian family. Wife, submit to your husband. Because that is the sign of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And frankly speaking, we cannot do it. Of our own flesh, we cannot do it. Especially in our culture. It's very difficult to do it. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, which is at our disposal, when we know Christ, Christ sent forth the Holy Spirit, dwell in our lives, enable us to live a life that will live out this fruit of submission. Our reverence for Christ, our fear of Christ. Verse 23 said, "For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." When Paul said, "Why submit to your husband as to the Lord," the English translation, we tend to read it as, we submit to the husband just like we submit to the Lord. But here the translation has something subtle there. It actually means, wives, submit to your husband as you are submitting to Christ. You will be able to submit to your husband. You see the subtle difference? It's not submit to your husband as like you submit to Christ, that elevate Christ and elevate the husband equal to Christ. No. Husband, do not misuse this passage. Do not misuse this verse. Because Paul is not drawing an equal analogy between the husband and Christ. Christ is the Son of God, you are not. Christ is perfect, you are not. Christ is holy, you are not. Christ is the second person in the Trinity, you are not. But he's talking about headship, which we will talk in depth next week. So in other words, the wife's submission has one condition. As long as submit to Christ. So in other words, this passage is not a passage open the door for any form of abuse. Because it's all framed under the headship of Christ, the lordship of Christ. So in other words, if the husband demands the wife to submit to him, which the required action is the direct violation of God's word, then God's rule trumps. God's rule trumps. Next week we will see that what the demand on the husband is much higher. Is much higher. So, Paul is teaching the wife, submit to your husband when you are submitting to the Lord. When you submit to your Lord, then that foundation will help you to submit your husband. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of church. So he's drawing something into this picture of husband and wife. He's drawing Christ and his church into the picture. And that is the Bible's teaching of the high calling of marriage. The high calling of marriage is not just to maintain my marriage, that my relationship with my spouse is healthy, good, we're loving each other, that's it. Then we live happily ever after. Because here, also in other passage that Paul and even Apostle Peter is drawing an analogy between husband and wife, Christ and the church. As a demonstration of God's glory, the kind of love, sacrificial love that Christ for his church, and the church's submission to Christ, which fully manifests the glory of God in this age. So in other words, every single Christian marriage has a mission. That mission is God is going to use your marriage to glorify His name. Marriage is never intended to be selfish. If you maintain a good marriage, but you never use it to glorify God, you are missing out big. You miss the biggest calling, the part of God's purpose of marriage. And your marriage will not be complete. So brothers and sisters, if you have a Christian home, if you are thinking and preparing yourself to enter into marriage, set that bar high. Don't drag it down. You will enjoy your relationship with your future spouse. But you will enjoy God when you serve Him with your marriage. God is using marriage to show His grace and power to this broken generation. My wife grew up in a broken family. She saw her father pack and left home when she was a teenager. And in that devastating time, she met a Christian friend, brought her to the church. But the church experience for her at that particular juncture was the loving relationship between the pastor and the pastor's wife. Later on, when we start dating, more than one time she told me, she walked into the church completely distrust any marriage. Her parents' relationship was very good. I can testify that until up to those crisis years. So for her, something that is near perfect could be shattered in a very short period of time. So what security, what kind of faith you can have furthermore in marriage? But it was the testimony between the pastor and his wife in that local church that picked up those pieces in her heart and mend them together. Up to today, I'm still grateful, otherwise I don't have a wife. You can see how powerful it would be when a couple, young couple, just open up their home and allow these students to walk in and see their day-to-day interaction. That is, God is using marriage in today's world to heal many, to restore hope, to put them together, to encourage them to grow. So never ever just set your marriage to be something that's a little world between the two of you. Set the bar high, because that's the calling of God. That is the original design of marriage. God ordained marriage even before human fall. He has a purpose, a glorious purpose. But when we got back here and see how Paul teaches the wife to submit. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Again, the language is strong and almost absolute. Not only submit just like church submit to Christ, but in everything. Now, how do we understand that? We know that the wife is called to submit to her husband, but we still can't shake off that submission. Seems to be like kind of pressing, being pressed down and become secondary. But when you look at this, the other two verses from 23 to 24, the clue is in the relationship between church and Christ. We as a church, what do we do? What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to glorify God by glorifying Christ. To live up Christ Jesus and preach the good news to people who never heard of it. That is the purpose. And by doing so, you and I, we receive different kinds of gifts, talents, abilities, that we work together as a team so that ministry can continue to go on and also ministry can move forward. And that move forward of the ministry is not for our own enjoyment, but for the ultimate purpose of more people will hear the good news. More people will know Christ. More people's life will be transformed by Christ. And that is the biblical submission of the church to Christ. Church submit to Christ is when we put our act together as one body to do our part to enhance each other so that God's purpose on earth can be achieved through our effort. That is the biblical submission of the church. So by the same token, sisters, when God calls you to submit your husband, it's not to suppress you. Rather, it's the opposite. It's allow you to express, fully express your God-given talent and gifts for one purpose. To edify your husband, to honor him in a way that God's purpose will be fulfilled in his life. The Bible has a word for that. It's called helper. It appeared in Genesis. It also appeared in Psalm. When it appeared in Psalm, it sometimes said, Yahweh, the Lord, is my help, my helper. In no way implying that you are secondary or less value. But it's addressing to your role that God designed for you. And frankly speaking, if you don't do that, you will not find the ultimate satisfaction of your purpose of existence. You are called to use everything, to arrange everything that God gave you to honor your husband, to edify him, to encourage him, so that he can be who he is in Christ Jesus. And in that way, he will glorify God, you glorify God as well. And this is what Paul addressed to. That is why you never find any passage telling you when the husband and wife, when they have different opinion, who should call the final shot. You don't find that in the Bible. If you get this settled, those things will not be an issue. It doesn't matter, finally, who make the decision. If we got our heart right, those things are no issue. And this is not coming from Paul's culture. It is coming from the culture of heaven. God designed man and woman with differences. But today we mix that differences with our self-worth. It's a wrong message. So biblical submission is not an oppression. It's not a suppression. It's an expression of one's gift in order to enhance, encourage, and complete another person so that God's name will be glorified. It takes more courage and more depth in Christ for the wife to submit. I don't like to draw too much attention to myself, but I ought to share with you this story. And some of you heard about that. Long time ago when I struggled with full-time calling, you know, I have to say that men, we are fragile. We are not very strong in self-assurance. Sometimes we need a lot of things to assure ourselves. I was one of those cases. And when I know that God called me to be full time, I have a long list of reasons that He should not call me. And these things, each one of them to me is huge. I cannot overcome that. And my wife keep encouraging me. And the encouragement, unfortunately, met with my ear, with my internal tension. I distorted the message. I thought that she's trying to push me to step into full-time ministry. And the tension, internal tension, become tension between the two of us. I was thinking, is that God call me or you call me to serve God? Since I'm so unsure about my ability, I don't know how to talk to people, I don't know how to build relationship and friendship quickly, how can I be a pastor, and I can only teach, I don't know how to preach, and all these things, all sort of things that was bombarding my mind, negative thoughts. And then my wife tried to encourage me. And then that tension translated into the tension between two of us. For quite a long time, quite painful. Until one day, she came to me, seeing that all these kind of tension and difficulties, and she told me, "Wilson, I can see the pain in you. If you decide not to step up and serve God, I'm fine. I will still be your wife, and I will still love you." You know that sentence? I still remember that we were sitting at the edge of our bed, and she was talking to me that evening. I immediately know Christ is speaking through her. And if Christ looked at me that way, all these fear melt away. It is a very simple submission of a wife that enable me to walk away from my own cage and become someone that God called me to be. My dear brothers and sisters, there's glory. There is heavenly calling in your role as a wife and husband. Don't trash it. Your help is the Holy Spirit. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you already experience what submission is like. And He will transform you. And my younger brothers and sisters, dedicate your marriage, your future marriage, for the glory of God. For God will use marriage, and He intends to use marriage to glorify His Son. And allow this world to see how sweet God's grace is. Let's bow and pray. Father, we come before You as a church. First of all, we want to acknowledge that Christ is our head, that we are to submit to Christ. Oh Father, forgive us if in any way we forgot that calling, that we are to utilize every ounce of our energy, all the gifts and talents that You have entrusted us to glorify Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us. And Lord, have mercy upon our families. This morning I want to pray for all the wives and wives-to-be. That God, we know that it is a divine calling. It's a glorious calling that You have called us to submit to our husbands. But we submit to You first. And help us. In whatever situation, in whatever circumstance at home, maybe my husband is a non-believer. Maybe my husband is so broken that sometimes is unreasonable. Oh God, would you please help me? Have mercy upon me. Give me wisdom so that I can use everything in my life to glorify you by encouraging and complete my husband. Father, I pray for husbands that we will be self-reflective. If there's anything in my life that throw up roadblocks, hindrance for my wife to be biblically submit, oh Lord, forgive me. Give me courage to change. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.